If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Proverbs. I would like to read just one verse from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16. I want to read verse 7. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7 has been on my heart and my mind, and I know that all of you are familiar with this verse of Scripture, and I just pray that God will help us to realize and remember the words that are found here in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. Before we begin to try to read from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come into Thy house. Thank You, Lord, for the freedom that we have to live in a nation where we can come together and try to worship Thee, to lift up our voices and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, to sing songs of praise without fear of physical persecution. Thank You, Lord, for this great privilege to live in America. We thank You, Lord, for the freedom that we still have, though they're becoming more limited. We do thank You for the bountiful blessings that we have, and we pray that You would help us to work and fight to restore the righteous principles upon which our nation was founded, that we would, as Your children in America, that we would stand up for what's right, that we would try to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We pray again now that as we study Thy holy word, that You would teach us and instruct us, and that You would help us to clearly understand the truth of Your word. Then, Lord, more important than just understanding the truth, we pray that You would help us to live in a way that would honor and glorify You, that the truth of Your word would have a profound effect in each of our lives. Pray Thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted. We know that You are able to touch and heal, and we ask You in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that You would touch each of those who stand in special need of Your help, those that are in the congregation tonight, that You're able to touch and heal them, and we ask You to do that. Bless them and bless their families, and those that are providentially hindered, we pray that You would bless them and uphold them and strengthen them and restore them to their help. Be with all of Your people the world over. We pray that You would help us as Your children, that we would be a blessing to others, that we would help others, that we would have the wisdom to know how to spend our time and spend our money, to spend our lives in a way that would be to Thy name's honoring glory and to the good of Thy people. Help us now as we study Thy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'd like to read now from Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. The Word of God says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his, that is God, maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. The first thing I want us to think about, and I believe it's an amazing thing, that we have the ability as mortal creatures, we have the ability and the power to actually please the God of heaven and earth. I think it's amazing that God has given us that privilege to please him. I think there are some children, we have three children and 8 grandchildren, and all of our family, as you look at different children, you find some children that just want to please their parents. There are some children that are very highly motivated, and if they could just have one desire, it would be to please their parents. And I believe there are some children of God like that. I believe that there are some children of God that their number one goal in life is to please God. They want God to be pleased with their lives. The Word of God tells us about people that did please the Lord. Look in your Bibles, please, in Hebrews chapter 11. We always think of that as the chapter of faith, the hallmark of faith. There are many people that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, and I believe that each of these individuals that are mentioned, I believe that to some degree, and most of them to a great degree, that they pleased the Lord. Their lives were walking by faith. Their lives were filled with faith. They served God in a faithful way. Now, what does the text say in Proverbs 16:7? It says that when a man's ways please the Lord, God maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Therefore, as we look at Hebrews 11 and we see these men and women whose ways pleased the Lord, what can we also conclude? We can also conclude that God, who was pleased with their ways, that God made even their enemies to be at peace with them. In Hebrews chapter 11, we'll just look at one individual in Hebrews 11. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, the Word of God says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his death, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How would you like to know that God was pleased with your life? And I do believe that from time to time that God is pleased with each of your lives. I don't think that God is always pleased with everything that we do in our lives, but I do think that there are times that we are committed and dedicated in our service to God, and that God is pleased with us at that particular time in our lives. Jesus gives us a parable in Matthew chapter 25. He gave a parable of the 5 2-1 talent servants. And to the 5 2-talent servants, the Lord spoke words that help us to know that the Lord was pleased with the servants, the 5 2-talent servants. Because the Lord said to the 5 2-talent servants, he said, what are the first two words he said? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Those two servants, the 5 2-talent servant, the Lord was pleased with them. He said, well done to each of those two servants. Well done. And he was pleased with their lives. And they entered into the joy of their Lord. And that whole parable is about the kingdom of heaven. That is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So they pleased God. They entered into the kingdom of heaven. But there's another fringe blessing that you might say that they had. And that blessing is that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And that's a great blessing. When God makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. In the life of Jesus Christ, and there's no one that ever pleased the Father like Jesus did. But Jesus pleased the Father. I want you to back up in your Bible just a moment to Matthew chapter 3 as Jesus submitted himself to water baptism. In Matthew chapter 3, the Word of God tells us about Jesus going down into the water with John the Baptist, and Jesus was baptized. And God was pleased with what Jesus did. Jesus says that becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. God is pleased when his children submit themselves to water baptism, to follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Father was pleased with Jesus being baptized. Now look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 3. Listen, please, to verses 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Word of God says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We don't find God ever saying that about anyone other than Jesus. But God did on more than one occasion, God did say about Jesus, God said, this is my beloved Son. I am well pleased with my Son, Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. God was pleased with Jesus. Therefore, according to Proverbs 16 and verse 7, the Word of God lays forth this principle that when a man's ways please the Lord, that God maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Therefore, can you conclude that the enemies of Jesus were at peace with Jesus? Absolutely. Absolutely you can. Does that mean when the Word of God says that God maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him, does that mean that the enemies, when a man's ways please the Lord, does it mean that the enemies no longer hate the man of God? Doesn't mean that at all. Jesus was hated more than any human being that ever lived on the face of the earth. He was hated and he was despised. The enemies of Jesus never stopped being his enemies. They hated him. They hated him until he was finally crucified on the cross of Calvary. So the Word of God in Proverbs 16:7 does not mean that when a man's ways please the Lord, the enemies will stop hating the man. But I'll tell you what it does mean. It means that when a man's ways please the Lord, God will make even our enemies to be at peace with us. We will not hate our enemies. If our ways please the Lord, God will make even our enemies to be at peace with us. The hatred will be gone in our hearts if our ways please the Lord. Was it that way with Jesus? Was hatred gone out of Jesus? He never had any hatred for his people. The Word of God says in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, the Word of God says that while Jesus was being crucified, was that still pleasing the Lord even while he was being crucified? Was he pleasing his Father? Was he doing what his Father had sent him to do? He was doing exactly what his Father had sent him to do. And while he was being crucified, and while he was hanging on the cross of Calvary, what did he do for his enemies? Did they stop hating him once they had him on the cross? Did they stop hating him then? No, not at all. His enemies never stopped hating him. But did he have peace in his heart towards his enemies? Indeed he did. And he said, Father, he prayed for his enemies and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How could he do that? The Father blessed him to do that. And the ways of Jesus pleased the Father, so the Father made even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, my question is, that's what Jesus was able to do, was to pray for his enemies. The enemies of Jesus were at peace within the heart of Jesus. He didn't hate them. But my question is, can you and I, do we have the ability to please God, and can God give us such tremendous grace that even our enemies will be at peace with us? Can the children of God have the enemies to become at peace in their own heart and soul? I believe that they can. I believe that one of the greatest examples is Stephen. Stephen's ways please the Lord. Now, there are a lot of people that would look at Stephen and say, he made a major mistake when he stood up and he spoke so harshly to those people in Acts chapter 7. There are people that would say, you know, Stephen could have lived a longer life. He could have been much more effective in his ministry if he had not offended those people that day. I'm telling you, Stephen preached that day exactly what God would have him to preach. God was pleased with Stephen. The reason, one of the many reasons I know that God was pleased with Stephen is that while he was being stoned to death, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. The Father blessed Stephen while he was being stoned. Stephen's ways pleased the Lord. Therefore, God made his enemies to be at peace with him. That's found in Acts chapter 7. Look in your Bibles, please. At Acts chapter 7, and you'll find that the enemies of Stephen, those enemies, though they still hated Stephen, and though they were stoning Stephen to death, that did not mean that Stephen hated his enemies, but rather that Stephen's enemies were at peace with him. You know, there are a lot of things, I think, that will make your enemies be at peace with you, and what I mean by that is there are a lot of thoughts that you can have that will make your enemies be at peace with you. I believe that one of the thoughts that you can sometimes have is, like Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't understand what they're doing. And I think that's true of many of God's children who are enemies. They are enemies of the truth of God. They are enemies of anybody that will stand for the truth of God. And the reason they hate the truth of God and they hate the men of God who stand for the truth is because they don't understand the truth. And when you don't understand the truth, you can be just like Paul was. Paul was killing Christians, thinking that he was doing God's service. He was mistaken in all of his rage and his anger in killing Christians. He thought he was doing God's service, but he did it ignorantly. He did not understand what he was doing. And I believe, brethren, if you can understand that many of God's children are so ignorant of the truth, that they may hate you and they may persecute you, but they don't understand the truth. Another thing I think that you can take great peace in knowing is that God has said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." I think that there are times in our lives that we don't have enemies just because they don't understand the truth. But I think there are people that hate God and hate the people of God and hate the Word of God, not just because of their ignorance, but they are enemies of God. And because they are enemies of God, they are enemies of the people of God. And you may from time to time be hated and persecuted, and one way that your enemies will be at peace with you, one way that you will not try to take vengeance on your enemies, if you can always remember that God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." Now if you believe that, if you believe that God will repay, if you believe that you don't have to make things right, then you can settle down and your enemies can be at peace with you. Even in your own heart and soul, your enemies can be at peace with you. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. We have some great admonitions in Romans chapter 12 about loving our enemies and about not hating our enemies. Do you hate anyone? All heads are going, no, I don't hate. Well, let me tell you something, brethren. If God would open your eyes, you'll find that from time to time, you might have a problem with hating somebody. Anger and animosity can rise up even in the hearts of the best of God's children. And when that anger and animosity rises up, we need to remember some of these scriptures that, first of all, that when a man's ways please the Lord, God's going to make his enemies to be at peace with him. If I'm hating my enemies, my ways do not please the Lord. Does everybody understand that? If I am hating my enemies, my ways do not please the Lord. Because when a man's ways please the Lord, God makes even his enemies to be at peace with him, within him. In Romans chapter 12, look at beginning in verse 14. Romans chapter 12, and I encourage you to go home and look at the whole 12th chapter of Romans. Before I ever started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, when I was working with the State Department of Education and going around to different counties, and the first time that I was going to speak from God's Word, there were several school superintendents that I knew were outstanding Christians. And one of them, I asked him if he could just speak one message from God's Word, what would he speak about? He said, Romans chapter 12. Most of you remember, not most of you, because most of you weren't here, but Brother David will remember Brother Kennedy that came through here, that stayed here for about a week or 10 days. And that dear man of God was as close to God as any human I've ever known on this earth. And I asked him, I said, what's the one chapter in the Bible that means the most to you? I thought he would say the Sermon on the Mount or something like that. He said, no, Romans chapter 12. I've had a number of great men of God who have said that Romans chapter 12 is one of the most important chapters in the Bible. So I encourage you to go home and look at Romans 12. There's something in Romans 12 relative to what we're talking about tonight. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 14, the Word of God says, "Bless them which persecute you." Is that hard to do? Is it hard to... I'm saying to you, it is humanly impossible. It is humanly impossible for you to bless them that persecute you. But the Bible says, bless them that persecute you. How can you do that? By the grace of God. God's grace and God's power are sufficient for you to bless them that persecute you. So he says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. And then in verse 17, I'm not going to read this entire chapter, but I want to come down to verse 17. The Word of God says, recompense to no man evil for evil. That's the human way, isn't it? You slap me on the left cheek, I'm not going to naturally turn to you my right cheek. You slap me on the left cheek, I'll hit you on the right or left cheek or nose. Doesn't make any difference. That's the natural response. That is not the Christian response. The Word of God says in Romans 12, verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. What does that mean? That means when somebody has done you wrong, it is not up to you to get even with them. Avenge not those that have done you wrong. He says in verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Can you do that? Can you do that? You cannot do that unless your ways please the Lord, because it's only when your ways please the Lord that God makes your enemies to be at peace with you. The hatred's going to be gone. You can actually feed your enemy when he hungers if your ways please the Lord. So he says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. And he says in verse 20, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Go with me in closing to Matthew chapter 5. I want you to notice in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes it very clear that we are to love our enemies. Now, again, we have all these commands that we're to love our enemies and we're to bless them that persecute us and we're to feed our enemy when he's hungry and give him water when he's thirsty. All of those commands are impossible for you to do unless your ways please the Lord. But when your ways please the Lord, God will make even your enemies to be at peace with you so that you can bless them that persecute you. In closing, look at Matthew 5, beginning in verse 43. Jesus is showing the tremendously high standard that he calls for his disciples to follow. Matthew 5, beginning in verse 43, says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's an easy standard to try to live by. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's not the standard of Christ. He said, you've heard it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Verse 44, he says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. How can you love your enemies? You can't except by the grace of God. God has to give you the grace to love your enemies. So he says in verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. I hope that God will help us to please the Lord. I think all of you know different ways that you can please the Lord. I hope that God will put a desire in your heart that you want to be one of those children that just has a great desire to please your Heavenly Father. That you'll be so motivated that you'll get up every day thinking, Father, what can I do that would please you this day? You already have been given enough teachings in the Word of God. You pretty well know how to please the Lord. And then if you'll put all of that into action and you'll begin to please the Lord, when a man's ways please the Lord, God will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. May God help us to realize the miracle that can take place in us loving our enemies when our ways please the Lord, is my prayer for Christ's sake.